wake up. It's time for church. You're going to be late.
Okay, all right.
You got to fulfill your purpose. Hurry up. Get up. Get moving.
Okay.
Keep moving.
I was, man, the rain and hitting the tin roof on our house is just so relaxing, and I'm not used to this schedule. I mean, I'm used to being at church around 8:30-ish, and then at 9 for prayer time, and then our social time, and Sunday school, and then 11 o'clock. So I just laid down and take advantage of this, but now this old man has to get out of this broken-down couch. It's going to be hard, but the Lord will help me. So there's probably many people that do this type of stuff, trying to get up. Oh, man, I got to get ready for church. It's time for church. My glasses on. And take off this robe, because nobody wants to see me in a robe, that's for sure. Sheesh. Got that. Put my shoes on. Hey, I stood on one leg. That's good. See if I can do it again. Oh, sort of. Okay. Yeah, let's put this over here, because definitely have to be ready. And put this up here. And I want to make sure that my Bible is up here in case I need to reference some other scriptures. And because I just woke up, I need a cup of coffee like you guys. It's kind of nice being home and watch, you know, services on TV and sit in your robe and drink a cup of coffee and kick back and relax. We probably could get really used to that. But God wants us to come together and to worship Him, and we're doing the best that we can right now. We're coming together like this through multimedia and to worship the Lord. And it's taking some adjustments. As you can tell, I lay down to take a nap, and doesn't take long for me to go to sleep. And it's funny, I was thinking about that song by Toby Mac, you know, keep moving forward, move it along, you know, and kept going over and over and over in my head. But anyway, good morning, everybody. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here, each one that's listening, for those hearts and ears that are open and expecting to hear from you. I pray, dear Holy Spirit, that you truly will accomplish what you want to through your word and through this message. We pray that your son Jesus will be lifted up and glorified, because you said that if we lift up Jesus, that you draw all men unto him. And we pray that you will be glorified, Father, that you will be well pleased. I trust in you, dear Holy Spirit, to preach your word, and allow me the privilege of seeing you do that, but also let others know in their own spirit, even through this multimedia, the presence of the Lord speaking to their heart. And may we hear you and respond to you in a way that makes you happy, that's pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So if I didn't say it already, I think I did. Good morning. I'm still kind of waking up a little bit, getting out of that sleep mode. But it's Palm Sunday, and it's really weird to be at church this morning on Palm Sunday, and sanctuary's empty. There's not, the congregation's not here. We're not fellowshipping together. We're not here. It's difficult. This is Palm Sunday, and it's one of the most highlighted times of the year besides Christmas for us as Christians. And I remember years ago, I was in the hospital. It was the Easter Sunday morning, and I thought, isn't it weird not being in church? So I would imagine it's kind of weird for you, too, to think, well, this is Palm Sunday, and I'm not at church. It can't be, because we can't have more than 10 people together in one location. We have to keep our distancing. And, of course, that's the adjustment, part of the adjustments that we have to make during this Easter season. So to be away from our church is difficult. To be away from one another as brothers and sisters in Christ and have fellowship together is not easy. In fact, some are really upset about that not being a reality this year. And it just reinforces a little bit more that we are in a time that's different, a time that requires, again, adjustment, a time that is challenging for us as believers. And not just for us, but there are many, of course, the world around that are having very difficult times and facing very difficult adjustments. You know, saw in Italy where people were out on the balconies at certain times and they were applauding the medical workers in the hospitals just as a time for them to come out and say thank you. And I thought that was pretty cool. But even though it's difficult for us during this time, We need to remember that God is absolutely wise. I mean, there's no, I like that passage of scripture says, there's no shadow of turning in God, meaning that there's no tweaking in his perfection. There's no thinking in his mind that something has to be corrected. He's holy. He's perfect in his actions. And we don't see the perfection of God in times like this. But we know that as believers that we can trust that God is doing things through this circumstance and has allowed this circumstance in our lives. And it's not the first time in human history, in American history, that we have gone through very difficult times. But we have to choose to look to God and say, God is wise. God is loving. God is kind. God usually through these circumstances, because they're so different, redirects our thinking a little bit and maybe teaches us some things that we have not learned before. And so we can expect that through the trial of this, that God is working in your life and my life to teach us something new and different. And that's why scripture talks about rejoice in tribulations. And even though that's something that we don't like to think about, because who wants to be happy during difficult times or trials? Yet in that, God is revealing himself and teaching us some things. And like I said last week, there are plenty of people that are just receiving Christ as their Savior through this. There are more believers in Christ and local churches that are connecting more with their church family via phone and Facebook and all those types of things just to encourage each other. I had a brother in Christ call me just the day before yesterday from Washington, and he said, I just want to share a scripture with you, and it's out of 1 Samuel chapter 22. I don't know the verse, but he said that it was that the Lord is your shield. And he said, I'm just calling people to let them know that God is our shield and we can trust him. And there is a shift of focus from us being afraid and intimidated or consumed by the circumstances that we're facing to trusting in God and his wisdom and his perfection, that he is our shield, that we can trust him through any trial that this brings us through. And everybody's facing their own circumstances and the severity of their circumstances in different ways than everyone else. But God is there. God is there to walk us through and to help us. So we're not used to being socially connected. We're not used to not being with friends and family. I saw a family on the news in Fresno that the lady was saying, she's standing next to her husband and her kids in the front yard, and she says, yeah, my mom's right down the street a few houses and haven't been able to even go down and see her. We've been FaceTiming together, and it's just strange. It's just really, really, really weird that we have this shift in our lives that is surreal and that is something that I think is becoming more of a reality to us individually, to where it's becoming, it's touching our lives more. It feels like the results of this virus are touching our lives more directly, and we're beginning to wrap our minds around that this is happening, and that it is serious, and we know that. But when it starts touching us in ways that change our lives, it's impacting to us as well as to everybody, and so. We're not used to spending a lot of time alone, but I think in this message, I hope that you're encouraged to realize that in your shift of routine, that you will spend time with the Lord, and it's okay to take a nap like I did, but don't spend all your time sleeping. Use your time to connect more with God, well, and even with others through media, through your telephone, through letters, connecting with people and encouraging them. God might also be teaching us to be dependent on him, and again, to learn those new things through, you know, maybe kind of we're in a forced position where we have to use social media. We had a lady on our Thursday night Bible study in the book of Acts, and she's in her later 80s, and she got online. And she was part of our Bible study. And I was just so thrilled that she did that. And she was so thrilled that she was a part of it. And she did that through a medium tool of Zoom. And we had that fellowship and we had Bible study, but that fellowship that we shared together was still a different dynamic. You know, you're looking at each other in these squares on a screen, you're talking, everybody hears you talking, but there wasn't that individual, you couldn't have several conversations going on at the same time. And there was an adjustment. It was something that was different, but yet we could sense the Spirit of God working. God's word is still powerful and strong and goes out and never comes back void. And we still had a type of fellowship. It was just different than what we are used to. In 1 Peter 5:6-7, it says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." I think that's an important key, is that in this time, instead of stiffening up in a rebellious type of anger or frustration, that maybe we should step back and just humble ourselves before God and say, "God, you've allowed this. You're holy. You're good. There's good reason. We don't see it in everything. We don't understand it. We're having a hard time adjusting it to it." But if we just simply come before the Lord with a heart that says, "Okay, Lord, I succumb to your authority, your sovereignty, your hand, your purpose," and we humble ourselves before him, then we can look and watch and see what God wants to do through this. Like I said, people are giving their lives to the Lord, but also in that verse it tells us that we're to cast our cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for us. So as we feel the weight of the circumstance hitting us and the lack of freedom, I mean, it's, you know, just driving out of town, driving out of our town in Kalinga, going out to another town, it's like there's that sense of constraint that says, "No, you stay put." And there's a restriction on our freedom, something that we're not really used to or adjusting to very easily. And so God's trying to teach us something, I believe, and that is to have courage, to be humble before him, to trust him, to have courage, because there's a lot of unknowns and fears that really are intimidating and fearful for us. But we should have courage. We should be willing, like the song that you heard coming into this message, that we should keep moving forward. And you say, "Well, how can I move forward when I have these restrictions when I'm at home?" Well, I think the key is that when we are humble before God, focused on God, then one of the ways of moving forward is that as we're focusing more on God, we're hearing God speak to us and talk to us and teach us. And that's part of moving forward. It's moving forward in our spiritual focus and our spiritual relationship with God and knowledge and wisdom and understanding, but also how he directs us to conduct ourselves positively or interactively with others in our families or in our church families. These things are part of the step of moving forward. It's not allowing the circumstance to consume us and paralyze us like we talked about last week, but it's saying, "Okay, here we are in this circumstance. Lord, my eyes are fixed on you, and I'm gonna be sensitive to what you are telling me to do." And God, you know, God might be saying, "Well, you know what, you've complained about not having much time to spend with God and his word or to read the Bible or to pray. You certainly have the time, all of us do, to do that." And but the part of the moving forward is saying, "Okay, I'm going to actually take the step to sit down and focus on God and his word or focus in prayer that much more." We have the opportunity now. That also is part of moving forward. And it could be part of the goal that God has for us or purpose he has for us to draw us in closer to him, to focus on him more, maybe to have more spiritual refreshing instead of a sense of being crushed by the circumstance around us. And so we're to have courage. We're to keep moving forward towards the goals and the purposes that God wants us to fulfill. It's like right now, you know, it's, you know, preaching the word. I'm not used to preaching the word in an empty sanctuary, but it's part of fulfilling what God has called me to do under these circumstances. We've made these adjustments, and we know that others have made adjustments as well. I think it was Casting Crowns that they were going to do a backyard concert, and the weather was too cold, so they did it in the living room of the, I forget the lead person in that, but the head guy with Casting Crowns, he did it in his house, and they did music via Facebook. And they minister to people. See, it's all adjusting to certain things. But one of the things that I found with that, it's interesting to step into the personal realm of these people that we see entertaining us on stage. And it gives another sense of a little bit of connectivity amongst us, especially as believers in Christ. God has his plan and purpose in this. And we can praise God for that. And God calls us to praise him even when we don't understand, even when it's difficult, even when we're afraid, even when it's painful, even when it's crushing, that because God is holy, we can trust him. We know he's working good because there's no evil in him. There's no shadow of turning in him. There's nothing that needs to be tweaked or adjusted in God's righteousness and his holiness, because he is light and he is pure and he's holy and he is absolutely perfect in every way, especially in his love toward us. So what he allows to happen in our lives, we can praise him for that. We know that Jesus had to face some challenging times. We know that Jesus had, as a man, he faced some fears. We don't think of Jesus facing fears, but we can remember that there was a time that when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he fell on his face and he prayed to the Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And he sweat drops of blood. It was so intense in his burden before the Father. But he was willing to move forward as the Father would direct him in his life. And so in 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, in Luke 4, 28 through 30, we read about an incident when Jesus was really in a threatening circumstance. And we feel threatened by the things that are going on in our lives and the adjustments and restrictions to the coronavirus that we're facing today that puts us on the defense. But in Luke 4:28 through 30, it says, "So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then passing through the midst of them, he went his way." First of all, it wasn't time for Jesus to be killed, and he wasn't to be killed by being thrown over a cliff. And yet he knew that was people's intention, was to try to kill him. He was in a situation that was, needless to say, uncomfortable, but threatening, and even in some ways fearful. But he knew it was not yet his time. Jesus didn't let this life-threatening, cliff-hanging experience and the hatred of others against him, and this is real key, to stop him from fulfilling the purposes that God had called him to do. And that's what you and I need to remember. We're not to allow the circumstances that we're facing to stop us from being faithful or joyful or committed or focused or available for God to use in any way that he can for his kingdom purpose, to encourage others, lost people in particular, and brothers and sisters in Christ. And so that's part of the step of moving forward, moving on, walking ahead. We're to keep moving forward. In Matthew 12, Jesus was confronted again by religious leaders, and they were upset because the disciples had conducted themselves in a way that was unpleasing to them. In fact, they had broken the law as they had written the law. And so they were upset. And through that, Jesus tries to teach these religious leaders and people that were following them about God's truth and not about man's truth. One that comes to mind is when they ate the grain out of the field and they weren't supposed to do that. Another is, you know, would you rescue your donkey if it fell into the ditch on the Sabbath, even though that's not lawful? Surely you would. And so he's saying, you know, God has things that he wants to teach us that are different than what we are used to believing. And yet these that he was teaching got mad at him. In Matthew 12:14, it says, "Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him." It was challenging to them what Jesus had to present. Now, the point of this is, in regard to the context of the message, is that Jesus continued to do and fulfill the will of his Father in the midst of difficult circumstances, and we are to underscore that in this message and in our lives as we face the circumstances of this pandemic that we are facing in our country and in the world around us. Let's look at what he says in Matthew 12:15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. So God continued to lead Jesus, God the Father continued to lead Jesus to do things that was to fulfill the work the Father had for him to do. And Jesus knew that there were people that were hating him, that wanted to kill him. He didn't allow that to paralyze him. He didn't allow that to put him in a situation where he felt like he couldn't move and where the world was caving in on top of him. He just kept his focus on the Father's purpose for him. Again, you and I need to pursue that focus on our Heavenly Father in these circumstances that we're facing today. Some of you are truly in quarantine, or truly stuck in your homes, or truly are not part of those that have the essential tasks that permit them to get out of the house and move around. And so in the midst of that, we need to be willing to look to God and say, God, again, show me what you want me to do during this time, whether it's personal or whether it's extending love out to those around me. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to learn? In Matthew 21:1-11, this is obviously the scripture that reflects Palm Sunday. But I want you to understand, as we read through this quickly, that Jesus knew the heart of the people, and he also knew the end of what was coming in the week that was in front of him. And so in Matthew 21:1-11, it says, "Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them.' All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey.' So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before those who followed and cried out, saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.' And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?' So the multitude said, 'This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee.'" He is our Savior. Hosanna. He is our personal Lord and Savior. And when we come together on Palm Sunday, we know that he's on his way to Calvary. We know that he's on his way to be judged and put on the cross, not just judged by man, but that the judgment of the Father for your sin and my sin was to be placed on him on the cross. We know that's where he was going, but on Palm Sunday, we celebrate it, oddly, isn't it? We celebrate it because through that suffering, God provided a way of salvation for us. He took the payment for our sin on Calvary. He took the punishment that we deserve for our sin. And so by putting our faith in him, as you know, as Christians, but just as a reminder, we have the privilege of knowing that our sins, past, present, and future, are completely washed away through the blood of Christ because we put our faith in him, have repented of our sin, and asked Christ to forgive us and come live in our hearts. We have that assurance. The point of this passage is to remember that Jesus knew the destiny as he descended from the Mount of Olives down into Jerusalem. He knew that he was going to die. He knew the time was coming. It wasn't when he was going to be thrown off the cliff. It wasn't by the hand of the Pharisees and the people that hated him for teaching the truth about God. It was this time, it was this moment that he was going to go and again fulfill the purpose the Father had for him. In the midst of fear, remember he's 100% man, 100% God. He had fear, but he had the Father, and the Father had promised him that he would hold his hand and walk him all the way to complete the mission that he had. So Jesus knew the plotting that was going to be against him. He knew again that his death was ahead, but he kept moving forward. And you and I need to have this type of mentality and example of Jesus, that we could keep moving forward in this circumstance, in this time in our lives and in our country and the world, that we are sensitive to the promptings, the leading, the guiding, the instruction, and the learning that God wants to give us during this time. We are to fulfill his purpose. And in doing so, we bring glory to God the Father. That's what Jesus was doing. And in doing so, he drew men to a right relationship with God. And as we respond and become better Christians and more active as Christians representing God, through God working through us, will help lead others to Christ as well, that they might know redemption and salvation, that they might learn the truths of God's word. So keep moving forward, fulfilling the prophecy as he did, as we read in this account. People were laying down palm branches and singing Hosanna. And even though he had that destiny in front of him, he kept moving forward no matter what. The thing that's distressful is, how easy is it for you to slip into a sense of despair or a fear that the world is caving in and you don't have control over it, so you don't know how to deal with it, and you deal with it in a negative way? So we want to shift from that to looking at it as an opportunity that God is working in our lives in ways that we don't expect. And in that we again will grow in him, and God will use us to fulfill his purposes in our lives. We need to do that during this time. We need to move forward despite the obstacles, despite the social distancing, despite the shelter-in-place order. Difficult times require adaptation. We need to adapt to the circumstances so that we can still move forward doing what God would have us to do, walking with him, being close to him, and being used by him. For example, as I said before, I preach to people in front of me, but I'm not now as a congregation at large. And it's not easy to do, but I'm depending on the Holy Spirit to do his work through this to where you are, maybe on your couch or wherever you are in the comfort of your home, or wherever you are listening to this message. I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to do his work, just like I have before. One of the things that Jesus had taught us was to have courage, to have courage to face what laid ahead. Jesus gave us a clear example of having courage to face what laid ahead. For him, it was the cross, but we also know it was the resurrection. We're to take courage. We're to be strong. We're to seek courage and strength from God. Don't succumb to fear, but succumb to God with a humble heart and a focused heart on him. Now, I want to take us to a story. I mean, maybe it's time, or you guys have been drinking your coffee probably. But we're going to look at the story of Joshua real quickly. Because Joshua was put in a situation that was different. His mentor was Moses, his leader was Moses, and Moses had died. Moses was used of God to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. And now God is calling Joshua to lead the people of Israel and God's people into the promised land of Canaan. When I was called to be a senior pastor, the head pastor over a church, I was pretty content where I was because I had served as an associate pastor and assistant pastor to different churches in my ministry over a 16-year period. And when God called me to be a senior pastor, I said, you know, I kind of like where I'm at right now because I can preach, I can teach, and I can counsel and love on people. But when things get ugly or things get uncomfortable, the heat goes on the pastor and he has to take care of it. And I was kind of liking that safe zone. And I think that applies here to Joshua as well. He could follow Moses. He could listen to Moses. He could encourage him and encourage the people of God. But he didn't take the heat for things. Now Joshua is going to be the leader that leads the people of God into the land of Canaan, the land that God had promised them, the land full of milk and honey, the land that is full of blessings. And I really believe that through this time that we're facing, that God is leading us to a place of blessing in our lives as we focus on Him, whether it be being touched by the coronavirus, being through the medical field, or any type of, or even the end result of those, that minority that have died from this, that they will rely on God and have faith in Him, and that will be a testimony to those that are around Him. We all have a mission and a purpose that God wants to accomplish through us. So let's look quickly at Joshua 1, 2 through 9. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites into the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book, now for him that was the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, but for us looking at it, we're looking at the Bible. This book shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So no matter how insecure we are because we're not in control of life and circumstances around us, as believers, we know we have the assurance that God is with us and will never leave us, and that He encourages us to have faith and to be courageous and to be strong in Him. And sometimes that will require us to be very, very courageous, very, very strong, very committed, holding as tightly to God as we can, because as whatever confronts us is so challenging, it requires us, if we choose to follow God and be used of God rightly, to hold on Him with all of our strength, with all of our might. And that's what God was telling Joshua to do, because God had a tremendous purpose for his life, to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. The important thing for us is to remember that God has given us a purpose. Not just for Joshua, not just for Jesus, not just for pastors. God has given you, as a believer in Christ, and me, all believers, the body of Christ, a purpose to fulfill, even in this time. It's not a time where we are saying, okay, we're off the hook and we can just, you know, do whatever we want. I know we don't like hearing that, but what I'm saying is that God is not saying, take a break from me. God is not saying, stop reading your Bible. God is not saying, stop serving me. God is not saying, take your eyes off of me during this time. He's saying, keep your eyes on me. Be used by me as I guide you and direct you. Learn from me as you're in the Word, and or even as you're praying. Learn from me. God wants us to do that. We know that He's with us. We know He'll never leave us. We know that because of him, we can be strong, we can be courageous, we can be faithful, we can be taught. And in particular, at this opportunity that we have while we're home, we can do that. It's an opportunity. God gives each of us a purpose and will always be there to help us fulfill that purpose. And again, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, what purpose of any significance can happen during this time when we're under such constraints? God can touch our hearts, reveal himself, teach us, mold us, shape us, and use us in ways that we don't expect even under these times of constraint. So like Joshua and Jesus, they both faced threatening situations. They both faced the enemy that was against them. The enemy that's against us is our fear. The enemy that's against us is Satan and his demonic, or the demons that follow him. I call them minions, that work in our minds in things that create a fear and an anxiety, a sense of insecurity because we're not sure about the future. Our future is not ours as believers. Our future belongs to God. We have to, or should, come to resolve that our life is not ours. It's been bought by the precious blood of Jesus. That our future is not ours. Our future belongs to God. And that we are in his hands and no one can pluck us out. He'll never leave us nor forsake us, as I already said. And we can rely on him during this time to accomplish what he wants to do in our lives. And whatever God wants to accomplish in your life, in my life, in this time or any other time, is of significance. It's not insignificant because it's part of his workmanship in your life and in my life. So we're to keep moving forward that we can fulfill the purposes that God has for us. Let me just take you one other place real quickly. And look at the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 16, 13 and 14. And I think this is so applicable to you and I today. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. Watch the circumstances. Stand firm in Christ by your decision to do so. Be brave in Christ as we rely on him to give us that bravery, that courage. And be strong. And not knocked down by the circumstances that are out of our control or anything else for that matter. And act in love, that we have opportunities to share the love of Christ, to encourage others. Like that friend of mine from Washington that just called and said, I want to share with you, God is your shield. And that's a simple word of encouragement. Picking up the phone and sharing a scripture with somebody is something that can be very powerful, especially in times like this. So we may think that staying at home during this time of social distancing takes courage and strength, or we may not think that. We might think it's insignificant, but it is alarming to us if we allow it to be. And so we need to be willing to take that courage and strength. We need to be courageous and confident that our Father in heaven, who loves us and only works that good in our life, will work through this for his purpose and his glory, that our future, again, is in his hands, and we can find assurance in that and comfort in that. We can find faith in place of fear. Faith in place of the fear that we're facing. We may not be heading into the battle like Joshua was, into the land of Canaan. Or we may not be, certainly, facing the cross like Jesus did for us. But in reality, and we've heard it and we've thought it, we are facing the fears of the economy and what the long-lasting effects of it are going to be in our culture and around the world. We're facing the fears of job loss, health issues, food, supply shortages, what the end result of all this is. If we focus in that, it'll cave in on us. If we focus on God and find strength in him and courage, he will lift us up and use us to fulfill what he wants to through us and touch other lives for his glory. When we experience loneliness and the change of lifestyles, it's not easy. And the pandemic has brought loss to us in more than one way. All those that have died from it. It's brought tremendous loss. We've seen those reports. It's very, very sad. And yet, this pandemic has hit everybody in a certain way that has brought a sense of at least the border to anxiety, if not anxiety, into our lives. We need to take courage and be strong. And again, like the theme of this message, keep moving forward like Jesus did in Joshua. Mark Twain said something, and this is interesting. Listen carefully because it's kind of a tongue twister. Courage is resistance to fear, mastery of fear, not absence of fear. Courage is resistance to fear. I will not accept you into my life. Mastery of fear. I know how to control myself in the face of that fear. And courage is not in the absence of fear. We don't see courage without the struggle that's facing. Courage is always manifested in the face of obstacles that are beyond us that can be translated as fear. So even though we face those fears today with the COVID-19 virus, we also face fears earlier on in our walk. Face fears of sharing the gospel of Christ with others for fear of rejection or ridicule. We face the fear of actually using the talents and abilities that God had called us to use and given us to use to serve others or to give time to others, to sacrifice that time. People have feared giving their tithes and offerings out of fear of not being able to pay their bills. These are the types of fears that we had before. But in all of this, God had a purpose in directing us to lead us to fulfill the purpose that he has for us. And so the question for you today is, do you know God's purpose for you? What is your purpose right now in this circumstance? Is it to allow your faith to be seen, your peace to be seen, a joy to be seen, a confidence, a courage, a strength to be seen, a dependency on the word of God, that biblically and scripturally you hold on to those verses and life verses that you claim? What is your purpose right now? How does it affect you, and how does it affect those around you, and how does it bring glory to God? Maybe this is a time that you can spend with God in that quiet time reading his word or praying. If you make the decision to cut out that time during this time that you're at home, that you might be able to find more definitive answers from God as to what God is doing in your life and how he is leading you. After all, God's purpose for you is no secret. He's not keeping it from you on purpose. He wants you to seek it out as you follow him and give your lives to him. As you live faithfully and obediently to him, God will unveil his will and purpose for your life. God will tell us, and he will provide what we need during this time to move forward. When I was a bachelor, first in California, I made so much money, had enough to pay my rent and my utilities. And my food was, fried eggs or scrambled eggs, pinto beans and rice, green beans, and sun tea. And I lost a lot of weight, but I still lived. And I would salivate riding on my bicycle home from work thinking about that can of green beans. God still took care of me, but it wasn't the way I expected. But that was a rich time in my life. It's something that I've mentioned before. It's something that impacted me. It's something that I realized that in the midst of the challenge, God sustained me. And God will sustain us through the challenges that he allows us to face, whether it be the challenges of life or the challenges of transitioning from life to life. But God is right there with us to carry us through these difficult times. So take courage and be strong. Follow Jesus' example and keep moving forward. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you for the encouragement that you give us through your word and your spirit. that you, dear Holy Spirit, I pray will speak that much more definitively and clearly to our hearts. But Father, it's not that you don't want to. We need to be willing to and desiring to hear from you and to listen and to focus on you. So help us to do that more intently, that we might hear from you, learn from you, be shaped by you, called by you more clearly for your glory and your praise. In the name of Jesus, your Son, amen.